Welcome to the First Bite Podcast, prideofdetroit.com, a feature of the PODcast. You get us on iTunes, you get the podcast on iTunes, you get First Bite, you get both, you get two for the price of one. That's what we do in here, that's what you're going to have. Look, I'm giving this away for free, all right? We're giving this away from free. My boy, Ryan Matthews, hashtag DerockGod, which apparently did not go viral on Twitter because of these of a goddamn travesty, but he is there still in Punta Cana, and things are the three letters I love, L-I-T. Ryan, how are you?
I am El Presidente.
He is upgraded from the rock god to El Presidente. Okay.
There was a requirement that somebody had mentioned. I'm so sorry that I'm not remembering who it was specifically.
Oh, I think it was one of two people either. It was at, I'm sorry, I laugh when I see this name. It was either at Big Slick McDick, Evan, or it was at the Pesty Prophet, Sherlock Loam. One of those two, I think, was saying that you had to be drunk.
It was one of those two, and they said that I had to have a 5-drink minimum to get on the podcast, and just to let you know, I'm at 6, so...
What is that in Spanish?
Seis. Cervezas.
Okay. Pretty
and good. How many of my Honolulu Blue Kool-Aids have you been having?
I had 3, but that was before I took a nap. That other voice you can hear...
Yeah, let's get hit. Let's get our guest in here. Straight from Windy City Gridiron, Robert, I've completely forgotten how to say his last name, Zaglinski.
No, you got it.
Okay, cool. I did not fuck up. This is a good time. And I, of course, am Chris Lemieux. So I'm your host, I'm your screwball, and everything else. Rob is here from Windy City Gridiron. He also writes for, let's see here, I'm reading all your credits here. No Coast Bias, you write for Rock River Times, and stuff over at Second City Hockey, which is not football. It's hockey.
It's still sport, man.
Sure, whatever you say. Whatever you say. All right, let's talk about the real man, king of sports, football. And as you can, if you are not familiar with Windy City Gridiron, that is our sister site for the Chicago Bears. And who are the Lions playing this weekend? Who, I ask you, who?
The Bears, right?
The Bears.
Do you like that sketch at all?
No, and I hate that the Bears promoted themselves because like it was meant to make fun of meatball Chicago sports fans, and I hate it. And the Bears like and like their own tweets and like promotions like use Da Bears, like Da Rookie, like all right. I hate it.
Do you also like what like I want to also know what you think about Mike Ditka now.
Listen, everyone knew Mike Ditka wasn't the best person. I've never actively hated or loved him. I don't go to Mike Ditka for my football opinions or my political opinions or any of that, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, you look a little too young to be the kind of guy who is just slavishly adhering to the memory of the 85 Bears.
I've seen, what, 3 winning teams, like, in my lifetime, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of the thing. We're all pretty young here, so, like, once you get away from a certain memory, like, for us, Ryan, like, it's obviously about the 91 Lions, right?
I was barely born.
Yeah, I was 5.
This is the thing, though, is that, like, Rob, you've seen a Super Bowl, at least, and I'm sorry that your team got walloped,
I have never seen a Super Bowl. Devin Hester returned that kick, and then the Bears won the game. What are you talking about? I don't remember the rest of it. Super Bowl champion. He returned that kick, and I blacked out. I don't remember anything.
I like it. This is how these things should be done. Like, you know, the Lions won against Dallas.
Yeah, they definitely did. I remember. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
Now, returning to reality, let's talk about, as we always start, with the injury reports. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the news. So let's go down the injury reports real quick, because I want to get to the big news and the big rumor stuff that's been flying around Chicago. Let's start with the Chicago report, as we always do. Eddie Royal has been out, I believe, 2 days now with no practice, toe injury. I don't know why I should fear him except for the fact that he torched the Lions the first time the Lions met early in the year. So I don't know how much his loss really impacts the Bears.
Well, see, his problem really in his first 2 years here in Chicago have been health, and it's continuing this year. Knowing the Bears, they'll probably try to unleash him if he's healthy, but if he's on the injury report on Thursday, I sincerely doubt he plays, and I sincerely doubt that he has any effect in the game.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to find this stuff just because I know some status has actually changed between days. So for the Bears, we've had two no practice days also from tackle Mike Adams. Willie Young appeared on the report on Thursday, not practicing, so he's kind of downgrading a little bit with that knee injury. And then otherwise, a bunch of limited names here. Jonathan Anderson, Josh Bellamy, Marquez Williams, Adrian Amos.
Marquise Wilson, sorry.
Thank you. I do this a lot. Tracy Porter, Pernell McPhee. I'm not really expecting too many of these guys to not play, but is there a name on here that you kind of risk an absence? For like the guys who are limited or probably no shows in practice?
Probably Tracy Porter, because the Bears have a horrible secondary even when he's playing. So if he's out, that's going to push another undrafted free agent onto the field. And, you know, I don't really want that against Stafford or anything. So Tracy Porter is probably really the one guy to keep an eye on if he plays or not.
Is Mike Adams a...
he's a backup. He's a backup.
Oh, he's a backup. Okay.
He's both Bears tackles are healthy, so he's not really... So he shouldn't really appear.
I mostly ask because, again, like, football's so big, it's so hard to keep track of all these rosters. So we do this for you, the listener.
Yeah. Mike Adams isn't a factor. He's a non-factor.
Okay, cool. Ryan, for the Lions, one big name, I think everyone... There's about, like, 8 players limited. I think they all play, though, except for maybe, once again, still trying to figure it out, DeAndre Levy.
Who knows? I mean, Dave Burkett reported that he expects at some point this week, and, you know, we're running out of time this week to have a press conference where DeAndre Levy will speak and let us know whether or not he's going to play football this year beyond just the Colts game. But everything that Burkett has said, tweeted, anything like that, has all been positive, pointing to the idea that he might play this week, and he has been a limited participant in practice. What about the one other player, though, that it seems kind of unlikely that they will play?
Right. I was getting to him.
Yeah.
So Travis Swanson, starting center, has been in concussion protocol and missed both practices so far. His loss, I would argue, is probably going to be felt the hardest, especially with this offensive line, which has struggled at times, and you know me. I am biased towards centers. I think centers are incredibly important.
Hey, Chris wanted the Lions to draft Ryan Kelly from Alabama last year.
Should have gotten Cody Whitehair.
All right. Well, if Alex Reno was here, he'd be super excited that you just said that, because he has a huge Whitehair Cody crush. Whitehair
but he's
crush.
Not. He's not. He's ditching us.
He's ditching us because he does not love us anymore. He does not love you anymore. But we are here because we love you.
He does not love mother.
With that being said, Travis Swanson could be a huge loss for the Lions because he has played at a Pro Bowl level. I mean, he has been an incredible...
Yeah, for a guy we were talking about, like, replacing with Graham Glasgow or just, like, getting off the team entirely, like, he's played so well.
No, he's played really well. And, you know, the name that you just mentioned, if he is going to miss time, if he's going to miss this game, you would assume that Graham Glasgow, the only other center that's on the roster at this point, will slide over from left guard, play center, and then that will mean, hello, how you doing? We have Lakin Tomlinson back in at left guard, and he's serviceable.
Wasn't he a first-round pick? Shouldn't he be more serviceable?
Hey, you know what? That was before Bob Quinn took over, okay?
Yeah,
you're in trouble.
It's a new day.
The Bears are in trouble, okay? Bob Quinn, our boy, is here, and he's putting together this team from the inside out, okay? So
I
be cautious.
I could say the same thing about Ryan Pace, man. Ryan Pace has done well, so... Sorry.
Yeah, well, you have Jay Cutler.
Not really. Cool. Not anymore. We're
I thought we were going to keep this aggro out of this. God damn. Okay.
All right.
Two more pieces of news. Before, you didn't even mention one of the biggest pieces of news from this week, Ryan. Brandon Pettigrew is done. And from what I've heard, done. I mean, D-O-N-E in Detroit. Not just done for the year. Reports are coming from the beat reporters that his locker has been cleaned out. The nameplates are off the locker.
Hey, before Rob can jump in and say, hey, wasn't he a first-round pick? Yes, he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick.
Brandon Pettigrew, it's a huge bummer because, you know, he went from a guy who he had some promise, and then he kind of, you know, slipped back into a role that was much more specialized, being a, you know, a solid blocker, a capable, you know, receiving tight end. It'll be a huge bummer to see if this is actually the way his career in Detroit ends. But it seems like it's that way. Dave Briquette is pretty adamant that, you know, this is the end of Brandon Pettigrew. But the other guy that we haven't talked about is cornerback Quandre Diggs.
Oh yeah, he's on season-ending IR as well.
He's on season-ending IR, and you know, nickel corner. Playing that slot position is one of the most difficult positions in football, maybe even all of sports. I mean, I'll put that up against anything because there are a lot of very talented slot receivers in the NFL, and Quandre Diggs is a very sure tackler. He's a very good cover guy. The Lions are going to miss him sorely.
Right. I know we talked about him a little bit on PODcast. If you want to hear more about that situation, we all feared he would be out for the year, and It
worst fears confirmed.
Yep. Who was also placed on the IR? It was Armonte Bryant, who's been productive. But you know who's back for the Lions? Guess who's back? He could not stay out of a Lions-Bears engagement, even though he tried. He's coming over from, actually, from your side, Rob. Joique Bell, back in Detroit.
Well, he came from your side first, and we don't really... He didn't really do anything, so...
Nope. But I know he's a hometown favorite here in Detroit. He's like a Wayne State grad, and Christ, I know every time the Lions would struggle in the run game early in the season, hey, can we bring back Joique Bell? And guess what? You got your wish.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Bears are going to retire his jersey for the few weeks he was here, so.
Yeah, I know, right? Just big like that. But, okay, now I want to get into, and I think I already asked this question to someone else from Windy City Gridiron, in regards to news has been going down in Chicago. But this week we've had a little bit of the of some rumor dust-ups going on with John Fox and his defensive coordinator, who I want to look at his name to make sure I'm going to have it right.
Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm.
So I know, I believe the reports earlier was Fangio was on his way out, but John Fox came out very strong against that.
It's actually a separate thing. The report was that Fangio would be leaving either way, or that there's a philosophical difference between Fox and Fangio, because Fox has typically been a 4-3 defensive coach, and Fangio runs a 3-4. There's that disagreement there. There's that rift.
By the way, I love how that thing is such a big thing people argue all the time. Like, even in the offseason, I know, like, Lions fans were like, when do we go to a 3-4 over a 4-3? And just, I don't know. As a dumb football fan, it just makes
sense. As long as you have the players, it shouldn't really matter what scheme you're playing. Yeah. But with that in mind, the Bears have been building. I mean, their rebuild started 2 years ago with Ryan Pace. They've been building a 3-4 defense. To let go of Fangio and go with Fox's philosophy would almost make no sense and double the time of the rebuild. So I'm not sure what this whole report meant, but where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, I'm pretty sure most other Bears fans, writers would agree with me. I'd pick Fangio over Fox any day. I think Fox is, if these rumors actually have more validity to them. Fangio is a guy that's probably been pushing for a head coach. That's probably why it leaked. And I think Fox is more of a guy that's not exactly suited to be in charge of a rebuild. I think this is a guy that needs, you know, like he had in Denver, Peyton Manning to succeed. He needs a roster ready to go, ready to build. They're ready to win.
So you want to get rid of Fox altogether?
I was never a fan of the hiring in the first place, and something gives me the sense that the Bears have given him too much power. I think he's a decent coach, but that they could honestly do much better. I'm not a fan.
All right. Well, I'd like it there. Let's just leave it there right there. And we're going to come back. We're going to take this quick break. We come back, we're going to be talking matchups and doing the thing we love to do. Not predictions, but things we think we know. And so stick around. We're going to be telling you more about this game and everything else coming up. All right, back on here on First Bite. Actually, why don't I give a few more minutes here to Robert? I kind of cut him off a little bit. Do you want to keep talking about John Fox, or are you good?
Yeah, I can just mention more. I was noting before we went to the break. I was never really a fan of his hiring in the first place. I think he's fine, and I think the Bears were a bit afraid after how everything happened with Mark Trestman, that they took a big risk with him, a former Canadian Football League coach. He hadn't been in the NFL for years. They wanted someone to stabilize the team after like a disastrous 2014 season. Like they had all these things like mutinies with a former offensive coordinator, Jay Cutler, obviously. But it was too safe, and it's kind of see the effect of that now. And moving forward, John Fox has never developed a young quarterback, and whether the Bears picked, Jake Delhomme doesn't really qualify. He's not exactly a stutter by any means. Peyton Manning obviously carried him for years. Off the top of my head, Carolina, whoever else was in Carolina besides Delhomme, isn't coming to mind. Tim Tebow's lone playoff season wasn't. That was probably the luckiest playoff season ever, and they were in one of the worst divisions. And then obviously you see what's happening with Tebow now. Baseball with the Mets. Wherever the Bears take a quarterback, he's not the guy to be in charge of him. I'm as a writer who covers this team, I would honestly fear the effect that he would have on a guy that they're likely going to take this year. Wherever, you know, he's too conservative, he's safe. He's never rubbed me the wrong way. There have been little moments where I've appreciated the job he's doing with the Bears. Like, there have been little games where I've appreciated the job, like where I've actually seen some kind of progress, you know? But if he gets another third year, what are you going to do? No. Everyone dies.
Since we're talking about quarterbacks a little bit, let's go on to probably the biggest change since the Bears. So we're not going to be doing too many matchups because everything's kind of, like, we've seen the Bears before. Minus about half their bodies being carted off the field. But I think probably the biggest one to talk about is the change at quarterback. No more Brian Hoyer going to tear you up. The Lions now have to fear their Matt Flynn game coming against Matt Barkley, which, what do we know
power
about
of Matt? The power of Matt.
Well, we've Matt got a Matt
Flynn,
too.
Matt Barkley?
What do we know about Matt Barkley? Well, he had thrown 50 passes, and the last two games are the first two starts of his NFL career, so we don't really know much yet. He looked good against Tennessee. Tennessee's defense isn't great by any means, but aside from two really bad picks, he tore them apart. And last week against San Francisco in heavy snow, he didn't turn the ball over, moved the Bears down the field, and really just didn't lose them the game. I sincerely doubt that he's, like you mentioned, that he seems more like a Matt Flynn to me, but if he turns out to be a starter for this team, or if he turns out to be better at all, I mean, not like I wouldn't necessarily be against that, but.
Well, I'm mostly concerned about this game. I don't know what happens in the future with I almost called him Flynn, Jesus. I'm jinxing myself
already.
I was just referencing
the past games.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, against the Lions don't have the best defense necessarily, so I wouldn't be surprised if Barkley had another game where he threw a pick or two, threw a touchdown. Bears offensive line protecting him, so
yeah. But at the same time, may not be a good defense, but I still What's the stat, Ryan? It's now been, what, 6 games holding teams under 20 points or less? And I believe, like, I mean, I don't know if you watched the Saints game, but...
I did see the Saints game, and I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if Barkley had a good game against the Lions, but the Bears have only scored above 23 points once this season, so I don't necessarily expect Barkley to light it up or anything.
Right.
I don't expect the Bears' offense to have a good performance in general.
Well, I think you're right in the idea that he's kind of an unknown quantity. Either he could have kind of a breakout game against a defense that's, hey, maybe they have been kind of a little bit of a fraud, or he could end up probably going the other way, which is in Ford Field and just getting torn apart. But as you say, I think that I want to talk a little bit more about that Bears line, because I think that's been like kind of the one bright spot for this Bears team, really.
The offensive line?
Yeah, especially going into this game, like the offensive line is decent.
Yeah, and that's a surprising thing, too, considering the injuries. I mean, the last few games, they haven't had Josh Sitton, who they got from the Packers in the offseason. They haven't, and Kyle Lawrence, obviously, out for the year. And somehow things are still holding up together. I mean, if I were a Lions fan, I'd be concerned at how they'd be able to get pass rush, decent pass rush against the Bears' offensive line, because even the backups like Eric Kush, Ted Larson, they've been filling in well. And there's a lot of chemistry here.
Eric Kush, my favorite personality from Hard Knocks.
I also got to say, too, like, you bring up the idea of pass rush, and even against a team like even New Orleans or something, Lions are not good at pass rush. Wouldn't you say, Ryan? Like, that's kind of the one, like, secondary is kind of shaping up. Middle of the field is not as disastrous as it could be. By the way, we haven't even talked about Tahir Whitehead being limited. But at the same time, too, the Detroit Lions, I don't know. I just don't, like, A'shaun Robinson bats down balls. But other than that, like, it's a real struggle to get sacks for this team.
Well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with Ziggy Ansah? Sorry, well, on the outside looking in.
Ansa's been limited by high ankle sprain, and that's something that's just going to linger for the entire season. It's something that's not going to go away.
I think they can also double team Ansa pretty well, too.
Yeah, you know, that happens too. And, you know, when it comes to the pass rush, I think that, you know, the Lions are talented from the exterior. I think that Kerry Hyder is a good player. He started off very hot. Maybe teams have been able to kind of figure him out in a way, but he still had a pretty good season so far in terms of generating pressure. It just hasn't showed up in the sack totals. Obviously, you know, Ziggy Ansah is a player who is playing for a contract. You know, Darius Slay got a contract recently in the offseason. He was one of the Lions' big defensive players that they inked to a big extension. And Ziggy Ansah was kind of that next guy who, all right, he's going to get some buku money, depending on, you know, really how he played this season, whether or not they would franchise tag him or what would happen. He just hasn't had the season that he had the previous season in terms of numbers that he's put up. And it's kind of a discredit to him, because while I don't think he has been obviously as good as he was last season, he had an incredible season. But, you know, the numbers just have not reflected well on him. And, you know, to kind of translate that to how the Bears offensive line, you know, Josh Sitton was a big pickup, you know, getting him from Green Bay. I can't believe, you know, within the division that happened. But Cody Whitehair has been a big addition for the Bears offensive line. Kyle Long, a huge loss, obviously, in terms of, you know, from seeing this team you know, early in the season, you know, week 4 to, you know, where they are now. The Bears picked up their first win against the Lions of the season. And, it you know, Chris, I'd like to hear if you agree with me, but there has not been a single game since the Bears game that I think that Matthew Stafford has struggled as mightily as he has struggled against that Bears game.
He threw two picks.
He was just not good. The offense was not in sync. Golden Tate got benched for Andre Roberts.
We all thought Golden Tate was going to get traded after that.
No, not me. Don't use that collective pronoun.
Okay, fine.
Y'all thought he was.
We're talking to you at home. You, the person who comes on our Facebook Live. You, the person. I shouldn't be throwing these people under the bus, because we do like 80% of the Facebook Lives.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're listening to this right now and you do partake in the Facebook Lives, stick around for Sunday. We've got something special for you. Are we going to do this, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do this. It's fun. All right, let's move on, though, to the final segment of this preview on First Bite. Let's talk about things we think we know are going to happen in this game. And there's a lot of things, and I think a lot of Lions fans could probably be guilty as charged of probably putting this game away a little too early. Still, though, this is kind of like, I mean, we joke about the hashtag, we joke about everything else. This is the game I want to win, though, because it's the Bears. And that Chicago-Detroit rivalry burns hot as the dead, decaying star that lights our cold little planet. So
this got really depressing.
Yeah, no, I can do that. All right, so things we think we know. What? So, Ryan, what do you think, like, we know about this game right now? What, like, what's a key to the game that you could point out?
I think we know that Matthew Stafford is going to have a much better game than he had the first time around against the Bears.
That's such an easy thing, but yes.
It is a really easy thing, but is it an uber important thing for the Lions? This team goes as Matthew Stafford goes. And this time around, they're not playing in Chicago. They're not playing outside, which I think might be a problem for this team.
By the way, that's also why I'm not as hopeful about that Giants game as you are. But
well, you know, the Giants are going to go 8-8. So, and one of those losses will be to the Lions. But beyond that, I think that Matthew Stafford will have a much better game this week against Chicago. He had a bad outing against Chicago in week 4. Obviously, his probably worst outing of the year. The Bears defense, while they've gotten players back since then, they've gotten Pernell McPhee back then, who I think is one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. Rob, you can confirm that whether or not.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you agree with that. I think that he's an incredible pass rusher. I think he's one of the best linebackers in the NFL. Tracy Porter, whether or not he's going to play, I think that, you know, that might have something to do with it. But I really just think Stafford's going to have a better game. The Lions have played very well at home. They've lost one game at home, and that's been to Tennessee. I like the Lions' chances this week. I think that Matthew Stafford is going to have a much better game than he had in week 4 against Chicago.
All right. What about you, Rob? What do you think?
I think we know that, to play off of that, that the Bears' pass rush will be much better than it was in week 4.
I agree.
Ryan, yep. You noted that Pernell McPhee is returning. Well, also, Leonard Floyd, he really didn't do anything in that game. He was struggling with injuries. He was the Bears were misusing him as a coverage linebacker. Well, they've kind of unleashed him in the past 5 or 6 weeks. He's looking like a defensive rookie of the year candidate. With McPhee back in the fold, with Floyd basically getting hot right now, I fully expect Stafford to have a big game, but it's not, I mean, these guys, they're going to be in this phase. It's certainly the front seven of the Bears will, against the Lions offensive line, will probably decide this game, though. So, because the Bears, if the Bears don't get a pass rush, the secondary will be exposed, less than talented secondary.
So this is the thing, though, too, is that a couple weeks ago, I saw Leonard Floyd get taken off of the field on a backboard, and I thought, how is this man going to play football the rest of the season, let alone maybe walk? And last week, you know, Jeremy Reisman was like, oh no, Leonard Floyd had 2 sacks last week against the 49ers. And I was like,
damn.
You have to be kidding me. No, he's an incredibly talented player, and I totally agree with you. I think that if the Bears can generate pressure up front, I think that Stafford's going to be, you know, even more hard-pressed to, you know, in this Jim Bob Cooter offense to get the ball out even quicker, to get the ball to, you know, Golden Tate out in the flats, get the ball out to, you know, Theo Riddick if he's, you know, healthy. You know, get them the ball quick in space, let them hopefully, you know, make moves on the secondary. Because I think I agree with you. I think that the Bears front seven, even maybe if Willie Young might not play, I know that's something that
Willie
maybe
Young
touched
has,
on.
He's not really been a fact. He hasn't really been a factor in like literally the last 2 months or so. So
okay,
I
well
worry about
we
that.
We love Willie Young over here. You know, cast the reel and start, you know,
I like
bringing
him.
It in.
He's a good player. I'm just saying that it's different.
Okay. Yeah. So, but I agree with you though. I think that if the Bears front seven, if they can, you know, if they can pose problems to Stafford, you know, that really could be the deciding factor in the game. You know, with Travis Swanson gone, if they can generate some pressure in the interior, that might be a problem.
I'm going to try to get mine in really quick because you guys chomped up so much time.
Well,
so
we love talking, Chris.
I know, but this is supposed to be the shorter podcast. I would say, but I want to tackle the other side because y'all both took the Lions offense versus the Bears defense. I would say that if the Lions want to punish Matt Barkley in this game and make sure he follows the proud tradition of USC quarterbacks, it's not going to come from upfront pressure against the Bears offensive line. It's going to come from letting him make mistakes against a secondary that had three picks on Drew Brees last week. You're going to have to make Matt Barkley try to look the way. And by the way, he doesn't have a lot of weapons on his side right now. He doesn't have Zach Miller. He doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey. But either way, he looks the wrong way and Darius Slay or Glover Quinn is there. Then yeah, you can punish him that way. And I mean, young quarterback like that, prone to do that stuff. But I think that about wraps it up. So let's get out of here. By the way, the line for this game right now is Detroit -7.5. Gambling sense, I don't know why I'm asking Ryan. He does not gamble. What do you feel about this line?
No, I don't gamble at all. But, you know, if I were a betting man, I don't think I would take the Lions -7.5. I know they won against New Orleans in New Orleans, maybe their most impressive win of the season by, you know, double digits. But I, you know, like Rob pointed out, this Bears hook, front man. Seven is pretty good.
It's that hook, man. It's the wrong side of a touchdown.
It's a little too much. I'd take him on the money line if I bet, yeah, but I don't know. What's the
but
money line?
But you don't
line?
Bet. Yeah, yeah.
Money,
what is that?
What's money line?
You learned that term from me. You learned that term from me.
Yeah.
So let's get out of here. Robert, thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting up with our bullshit. You can find him on Twitter at Robert Zeglinski, Zeglinski.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
And once again, he writes for Windy City Gridiron, Rock River Times, Second City Hockey, No Coast Bias, Ryan Matthews, The Rock God, at Ryan_POD, El Presidente. And you can find myself at Detroit Southern. Thank you all for stopping around, and we'll see you star side. Enjoy the game.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. Moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say,